Our gospel lesson this morning is the lectionary gospel reading for this second Sunday after Pentecost. It comes from the gospel according to Mark, chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. It's a very busy and complex passage, but as I read these words, just listen for something that's being spoken into your life and into your heart at this particular point on your journey of faith. And the crowd came together again, so they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he cast out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. I want you to hear these words again. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. And the crowd came together again, so they could not even eat. You hear that? They could not even eat. The situation was such they could not even eat. Friends, that's serious business. That is serious business. That's code talk in our family. That's code talk in the Menachos. It means you better pay close attention to what's about to happen. Because if we can't even eat, something big's going on. So that should be a little clue for you there. So I want to focus in on just one part of this very, very busy text. And I want to focus on, it's right at the very end of what I just read, the closing verses. And we can come back to the other verses at another time if we have more time, after we get something to eat, okay? We can do that. So let's hear this again. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Okay, let me put it this way. When Jesus spoke those words nearly 2,000 years ago, they would have been scandalous. It would have been absurd. You know, eating most definitely would not have been the first thing on people's mind after they heard that. They probably couldn't even think about eating. They were so upset by what he said. Now, of course, we all know the human tendency to self-organize. You know, self-organize into different groups, right? Or tribes, or exclusive clubs, or hobby enthusiasts, or whatever we do. And nowhere, and I love this game. I don't really understand it. Bridge. Anybody ever played Bridge, the card game Bridge? There's about 5 people left in the world that play Bridge. Okay. When I grew up, my parents played Bridge all the time. And they'd have Bridge parties. That's a great time, Bridge party. But, and they'd play into the night. And it was so complicated just watching it and learning about how you bid and how you play the hands. But anyway, what's so interesting to me about Bridge is that when you go to keep score, how do you designate the sides? We and they. Very strange. And I thought, that's the way we do it, isn't it? That's why we divide up most things in our world. We divide up into we and they. Of course, we are in the we group by definition. And most of our family and friends and those who think and look like we think are also in the we group. It's that, as we talk about the circles of concern, that's the circle we're talking about. We embrace, we support, we defend, and we generally care for those in the we group, our group, right? And if a person happens not to be in the we group, well, that's just too bad. That's just too bad. You know, they are in the they group, okay? And that's not our group. And what seems to be pretty well documented, as far as I can tell, across time and culture, it is extremely, extremely rare and extremely disturbing to everyone when someone somehow jumps groups. And, you know, it does happen, but when it does, it just about tears the universe out of its frame. I mean, even the thought of jumping groups can be incredibly unnerving. And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. What? With those words, Jesus made a mess of everything. And I can't stress that enough. Up to this point, a parent was a parent, sister was a sister, brother was a brother, we were we, and they were they. But not anymore. Not anymore. With those words, Jesus made a mess of everything. You know, not that this should have surprised anyone. I mean, no. They should have been used to it by this point in his ministry, right? After all, they had heard the parables. You remember the one about the Good Samaritan? Who ever heard of a good Samaritan? Samaritans are they, not we. And of course, at the end of that parable, the clincher question was, of course, and who is my neighbor? In other words, who are we? Jesus said, there was a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. They robbed him. They beat him. They left him for dead. Then along came a priest. We came by, but he did nothing to help, nothing to help. Then along came a Levite, a temple worker. We came by, and he did no better. They both passed by without helping the man. And then finally along came a Samaritan. They came by, and they stopped, and they ministered to the one who was in need. To the we in need. Jesus said, now you tell me, which of these folks is we and which is they? Well, reluctantly, and without the ability to even identify the man by title, the lawyer simply says, the one who showed mercy. And with that, what a mess Jesus made of things. And he still does, doesn't he? It's called the kingdom of God, and it's a mess. It is just a total mess. So let me ask you, what is family? What is family? Jesus asked, who are my mother and my brothers? How do you define family? Is it genetic? Is it residential? Well, I hate to tell you, it's a lot bigger than that. A lot bigger than that. It's spiritual in origin. Family is connection. Family is about sharing of life together. And as we share our lives, we are transformed. We become one. They somehow become we. The Apostle Paul used Jesus' language in his letters as he wrote over and over and over again, brothers and sisters in Christ. Family language, you know. That's the way we talk around here, isn't it? Child of God, we say, or family of God, brother and sister in Christ. You know, that sort of talk. Friends, we are, now I'm not going to sing it. I know you're thinking, we are family. I'm not going to sing it. No. Now, don't make me sing. Anyway, the day that we begin to realize and claim that identity is the day that everything changes in our world. You know, we stop thinking and saying this church or your church, and we begin saying my church, our church. Friends, we, you and I, have been in this place a long time. Pleasant Grove has been in this place a long time, and we recount it time and time again, usually on All Saints Sunday. So think about it. When our first Sunday service met somewhere in these areas, Abraham Lincoln was still just an unknown rail splitter. Okay? Think about that. We're talking about President John Tyler. No, you know, the Whig Party. The Whig Party. Oh, bit of trivia. I read an article sometime in the last 6 months. One of John Tyler's, the 10th President of the United States, grandsons is still alive. He was the 10th president. He was born in 1790, John Tyler was. And one of his grandsons is still alive and lives in the old home place. Anyway, don't worry about that. Okay. Pleasant Grove has been here over 180 years. We've called this place home. And in this place, we have changed the world. Now, you know, less than 1 month from now, the very end of this month, June 30, the ministry year at Pleasant Grove comes to a close. We just close out a year and start a new one. And it's been a crazy year, as we all know. And what a trying time it has been. I mean, back when the severity of the pandemic was becoming evident, I really thought we were in trouble. I mean, serious trouble as a church. And, you know, how could we survive not meeting together? Not doing this, you know? How would we survive economically? We still had a mortgage, we still had utility, even nobody's in here, we still had to pay for this place. You know, we still had staff on the payroll. You know, I was concerned, to say the least. But didn't you know what happened? The body of Christ happened. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose in the sea, so great the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and they woke him up saying, "Lord, save us. We are perishing." And he said to them, you know, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up, rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was dead calm. Friends, I just witnessed that miracle again. And I was reminded of the paucity of my faith. You know, a miracle that was worked through your hands as instruments of the one who calmed the sea. Okay, it's time to look back at the past year. It wasn't easy, but you came through. You came through. 2 weekly Bible studies, virtual Sunday school, virtual choir, virtual band, virtual youth group, virtual handbells, virtual Olympics. Thank you, Ashley. Okay, virtual children's Sabbath, tailgate worship out back, virtual All Saints service, virtual youth Sunday. Where are my youth leaders? Thank you very much. Takeout Advent workshop, virtual Christmas Eve, virtual baptismal reaffirmation service out in the front parking lot. And who can forget the men's group drive-through Shrove Tuesday pancake supper. And there was virtual Ash Wednesday with drive-through imposition of ashes, live Monday Thursday service with communion out front. It was cold and windy, if I remember correctly. Virtual Stations of the Cross on Good Friday. 2 live outside Easter services on Easter morning. Virtual Stewardship Commitment Sunday with drive-by and walk-up pledging. Oh, did I mention a pledge card today? Okay, anyway, no. Okay. Confirmation Sunday was just 2 weeks ago. 12 confirmands we had join us that day. And today, 13th, Carlisle will join us in just a few minutes. The past year has been crazy. And we've also been very busy serving our neighbors. Our Great Minds after-school program is up and running again. We hosted an anti-racism workshop. We sponsored a blood drive through Blood Connection. We had all sorts of collections that benefited people all over the place. And your mask-making team has made 14,068 masks so far. But that was last week, so who knows? Maybe over 15,000 now. You know, at one point in his life, the Apostle Paul made his way to the metropolis of Athens. And he took his faith to the very heart of the culture and the philosophy and the religion of his day. Paul went to Athens, and he went to what's called the Areopagus, a public place where people would share their ideas, and right there in the shadow of the Acropolis. And he said this to the Athenians. He said, "I see how extremely religious you are. I know this by the fact of your many religious artifacts. that surround you, your altars and your shrines and your statues and your marvelous works of art of stone and silver and gold. It's amazing and wonderful. But my concern is that these sacred places are devoid of real life. Friends, Paul knew something that the generations that followed him knew. That genuine faith, genuine tradition is about life. It's not about space. It's about community. You know, it doesn't matter where the community gathers, whether it's in a grand cathedral or the basement of a rundown house or even on Zoom or streaming. No. What matters is whether or not it is a vital community in which the presence of Christ is experienced and the grace of God is administered. Thank you. Thank you for making Pleasant Grove just such a community over this past year. I didn't think it could be done, but you did it. So the question that is before us today is a very simple one. Where do we go from here? In other words, how do we continue to enhance the living tradition of a community called Pleasant Grove? You know, these past 15 months have been tough, very tough, but we have kept the faith alive in this place through your prayers, your presence, virtual presence, gifts, service, and witness. Wow. The same commitment that Carlisle is about to make as she becomes a full and professional member of this community. So friends, I mean brothers and sisters, it is my hope that we will continue to be faithful to the folks who've gone before us for 180, however many years it is, as we continue to make this place a community in which the living Christ is incarnated in us and through our lives, we administer the touch of Christ. So with this in mind, I invite you to be part of what could be in this new year that lies before us. You know, what is it going to look like? I don't know, but you're going to do it. You're going to do it. So get involved in your church, our church, and help us continue to change the world in the name of Christ. We have a lot of work to do. Last week we heard Isaiah put it this way. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Jump ahead a few centuries after Isaiah, and Jesus put it this way. "Follow me." Thanks be to God. Amen.